2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andreas Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at KSLPodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
KSL's unrivaled, the teams you live for, the sports you love. Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery on KSL News Radio.
All right, everybody, welcome back. Welcome back. It is KSL's unrivaled. Alex Keery, Scott Mitchell here in studio. But I want to bounce over to something real quick that we recorded today. This was Mitch Harper and myself and Matt Biamonte. They're the two hosts of Cougar Sports Saturday, of course. And it was our immediate reaction to a lot of the kind of state of the program comments that were made by Tom Holmoe and Coach Kalani Sitake et al. So we'll jump right in there, our conversation talking about what happened at BYU Football Media Day. Take a listen.
Quite an interesting media day so far. One, they've pared everything down quite a bit. I still think that there were some nuggets of, and we're just going to go over some of the big takeaways off of Media Day so far and kind of get your thoughts, because we heard it all, but at the top of Media Day, everybody's waiting for an announcement. The name, image, likeness topic came up, and BYU has this Built for Life, I guess what we call it, kind of an initiative that they're going to start up. And they didn't say much about it, guys, except for like, hey, we want to get these guys to be able to make some money. There wasn't really anything built around it except for there's some possibilities in there of making some money, teaming up with some of these tech companies in the area. What on earth are we talking about? Like sweet internship gigs? What are we talking about?
This is going to be something starting up potentially July 1st, as soon as July 1st. If the NCAA passes the laws for these schools to actually allow name, image, likeness, but BYU is going to be ready because they're going to have an infrastructure in place, partnered up with the Silicon Slopes and all that to get these guys just opportunities to market themselves and showcase their brand and make money off TikTok, Instagram. Maybe they do stuff with us here at KSL on the radio, whatever it may be. Like, they can showcase their brand, and there's going to be that opportunity. So BYU's been on the cutting edge with that. Last fall, they signed up with Open Doors, so they knew that name, image, likeness was coming down the pike, and they were ready to go.
Matt, you're on Silicon Slopes, so to speak. Yes, you're a tech guy. Are you just shelling out some dough for these players to rep your company? How is it that like a company would be able to participate in this? Oh, we just don't know all the details.
No. And here's what I like, though, is that Coach Clark told us earlier today that Kalani has probably spent more time on this than anyone. And I think this is going to be a big recruiting tool for BYU down the road because of those relationships. And I think it'll manifest itself in potential commercials with these companies. Maybe they make appearances at events. So I think the sky is the limit for this. And for BYU and the current landscape they're in right now with independence, and we're a little freaked out at what this means with the college football playoff expanding, having this tool ready to go from day one, I think will help them in that regard.
Well, I think also with Kalani Sitake, he's able to do this stuff because he's probably the most comfortable he's been in his job since he got the position. I mean, you don't do a Built for Life when you're coming off a 4-9. You have that luxury. You could focus on that a little bit more when you're 11-1. I think he's got some more security. He's got the trust from the president and the administrators. Like, you are our guy. You are the head coach, the face of BYU football. If you want to be the Polynesian Lavelle Edwards, like he once said he wanted to be, we want you to be that. So I think he's got that luxury now.
Yeah, I asked him about that just a few minutes ago inside about give me the difference of walking into year one versus walking into it now. He gave the analogy of being a dad. He's like, you know, Everybody said, and I know you guys were talking about with Jaren Hall, who's about to be a dad here in a couple weeks, and he was like, look, you can talk about stuff all you want. You can get ready for things all you want. It doesn't matter. And then pretty soon you find out the stuff you're really good at. You find out the stuff it's really good at, you're really good at delegating, you know, or whatever it might be. So he said fatherhood. He said, well, number one, you have to have an amazing group of assistants, you know, and in marriage – he's like got a great partner, obviously, with his wife. And it was a great analogy about how – and it was that comfort level he was talking about. He goes, I know what I didn't know now, but you don't know that when you first start up. And so I think that there's a lot of that along those same lines of the non-football talk, or at least of the non-like X's and O's stuff that we've had to deal with today, is the idea of a 12-team college football playoff, which is massively exciting for all of us. Like, it changes our lives completely. It will change the landscape of college football, and BYU wants to be a part of that. And for the first time in the 10 years we've been coming to Media Day, I have heard Tom Holmo say something that I'm not used to hearing, which is, we're looking at everything, including independence not necessarily being a part of that future. I think the best way, and I think he has to start acknowledging that, is that some sort of a conference needs to be a part of BYU's future if they're going to have the best shot at that 12-team playoff.
And it's not a bad thing necessarily to go back to the group of five potentially. I mean, it's not what BYU fans want. They want to be in the Power Five. Obviously, everyone here wants to be in the Power Five. But I think that no longer is group of five just a no way, not happening. I think the fan base could accept it because now you know there's a path to the playoff, to play for a national title. That's what BYU football has always wanted since they won that title in 84, is another chance at contending for the highest crown in college football, and that could potentially give them that, because I think as an independent, I just don't see a scenario where you're winning 11, 12 games in a regular season with these schedules. You have to probably be perfect to be in that thing, and that's just tough. Sledding for BYU. I know they've improved the roster quite a bit, but that is just a difficult road to hoe, especially when you're on your own as an independent.
The biggest obstacle to it, this though, and independence, because I think independence could work if you're guaranteed to get good schedules down the road. Now, BYU has good schedules for the next couple of years because schedules have been made years in advance. My concern would be, what's the incentive of these teams continuing these games if it's not going to help us with a resume in trying to get into a top 12 situation?
Well, at a good schedule, so to speak, what's it benefit BYU if they know that four losses are really, you know, going to be baked in some of these years that you've got? It's not just about – it's not me saying that BYU's not match up with these teams. Your first 5 weeks, the way these schedules work out, your first 5 or 6 weeks are – just absolutely brutal.
Well, and they're also programs. Not only are they Power Five, but they have probably double the resources and budget that you do from a revenue standpoint. And that means, and what does that matter? Well, that's going to give them bigger recruiting staff. That's going to give them bigger
analysts.
Support quality control analysts to put together a game plan to defeat their opponent. BYU doesn't have that luxury. So that's where that becomes a difficult thing, where you can't just look at it and say, yeah, the stars could align one year and you could have that magical season, but the odds are against you when the money trail would suggest that it's a daunting task to win any Power 5 game.
From the football perspective, look, Zach Wilson leaving, big, giant hole, the biggest hole that BYU's probably ever had to fill at that position, at least in recent years. You guys have interviewed all three of the potential quarterbacks that are the or on our sweet depth chart here, by the way, which sees a defense of 18 different positions, including, but not limited to, of course, your usual Mike backers, your Rovers, your Jack, your Flash. Those are linebacker positions. But then, you ready for this? Frodo. That's a position. You ready for this? Cinco, right? Not nickel.
Hey,
but there is nickel.
Cinco was there last year. It's become like a it's a new position.
Well, of course it is. I hope it is. Dime, joker, and then you have your usual safety, free safety, cornerback position. So
18 starters.
18 starters, if you want to be. Now, I was told these were packages. I went, no. These are packages, and I'm going to have 18 guys. BYU is going to have a solid defense if they have 18 guys on the field at once. But the quarterback position is the one that I think everybody is obviously asking the most about, and we're getting the fewest answers about because we don't know anything really about these guys except for some things that we have on tape with Jaren Hall, some things we have on tape with Baylor Romney. Jacob Conover is intriguing as heck. I mean, you guys have interviewed all three of these guys. It's the only position where the coaches are going, yeah, I mean, we're looking forward to all these guys. No one is looking forward to a three-person battle going right up to the Arizona game.
Yeah, no one is. And I think they got to have this nailed down at the end of fall camp, because usually that's about 2 weeks before kickoff. That's got to be set in stone. And ideally, you know, I think it needs to be announced publicly to have that, you know, let it be known to the masses, like, this is the guy. Because still, even if Arizona knows it's Jaren Hall, what, do they got two games to work with, a film? Like, yeah. You're going to pull the Utah film in 2019 where he's lining up at wide receiver? That's not going to be relevant. Yeah. That's not going to help the cause. So I think that that's got to be a situation where you hope that, you know, maybe the first couple of days someone's making it clear, like, they are head and shoulders better than everyone else. We were talking with Jaren Hall, and he said he's now working with John Beck, and he mentioned that, and that's,
well, that's a magic word to say around here nowadays.
That's a huge deal, and he's down there, and, you know, guys like Isaac Rex have been down there following the similar path like a Zach Wilson, so maybe that can carry over for Jaren Hall, and he can have this meteoric rise like Zach Wilson experience. But these guys are definitely putting in the work. They're going to be prepared come fall camp.
And I thought one of the biggest nuggets of the day was Aaron Roderick. Letting it slip's probably not the right term, but when he said, if Jaren Hall is healthy, it's going to be hard to beat him out. To me, that was, he's the front runner. If he's healthy and does what we want him to do, he's going to be the starting quarterback.
Smart money on Jaren Hall then, I guess, if it was to really come down to it. Okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, that was our discussion today at BYU Football Media Day. You'll have more coverage on Cougar Sports Saturday this weekend. So let's take a break here. When we come back, I've got more to go. I've got more. I've got some more audio from what some of the coaches had said today. Something that Kalani had said about his time now versus when he had started, and how his attitude has changed since then. Stay with us. More to go. It's KSL's Unrivaled.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com. Follow us on Apple Podcasts or anywhere else you listen.